Radio Prague News.
The Czech Central Bank has cut its forecast for the country's economic output. Around 400 people have gathered in Prague to protest against the controversial ACTA Internet Treaty. And a 52-year-old man in Prague has committed suicide by freezing to death. The Czech National Bank on Thursday cut its forecast of the country's economic output. The bank now expects the economy to stagnate in 2012, down from its November prediction of at 1.2% growth. The bank's governor Miroslav Singer told reporters that the latest forecast was a compromise between the base and alternative scenarios the bank came up with in November. The good news, Mr. Singer added, was that the current prognosis was more optimistic than November's alternative scenario. For next year, the bank forecasts a growth of 1.9%. Some 400 people gathered in central Prague on Thursday to protest against the controversial ACTA treaty, which the Czech Republic joined last week. The protesters, who were joined by several members of parliament, called on the country's lawmakers not to ratify the treaty, which aims at harmonizing standards of copyright protection and which critics say could lead to restrictions of free internet. The single European currency will survive only if the Eurozone becomes a federation, according to Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas. In his opinion piece in Thursday's Czech daily Lidové noviny, Mr. Nečas questions whether the Czech Republic should adopt the euro under the current conditions, and if so, when. The Czech Republic and the UK are the only two countries that have not joined the fiscal pact agreed at last week's EU summit. In Thursday's opinion piece, Mr. Nečas also criticized the fiscal compact by saying that while the agreed treaty was a crucial step towards federalization, it failed to address current problems. By joining, he said, countries gave up the right to vote on their own budgets within the EU, thereby losing sovereignty. 153 new cases of HIV were registered in the Czech Republic in 2011, according to figures released by the National HIV/AIDS Programme on Thursday. It is the third highest surge since 1985, when monitoring began. Doctors also recorded 20 people who developed AIDS. 9 people died of the disease last year. The authorities said 87% of the new patients contracted the disease from sexual intercourse. A group of Czech MPs from all parties in the lower house of parliament have come up with a bill that would legalize medical marijuana. At a news conference on Thursday, the MPs said that under the proposed legislation, cannabis would be supplied by licensed producers and would be available to patients as a prescription drug free of charge. Licenses to grow the plant would be issued by the State Institute for Drug Control. The National Anti-Drug Coordinator said up to 10 companies could receive such licenses. The bill will now be discussed by the government before it is put to vote in the Czech Parliament. If approved, medical marijuana could be legalized by the end of August. Around 300 law faculty students at the West Bohemian University in Plzeň protested on Thursday against the authorities' decision to cancel the accreditation of its undergraduate program. That would effectively close down the school, and around 1,600 undergraduate students would have to complete their studies elsewhere. On Wednesday, the country's Accreditation Commission decided not to uphold accreditation of the law school's undergraduate program over persisting staffing issues. Last November, it also closed down the doctoral program at the Plzeň Law School. A 52-year-old man in Prague has committed suicide by freezing to death. Doctors said the man had been drunk. He took off his clothes and lay on a park bench where he was found around Thursday noon. On Thursday morning, a 49-year-old homeless foreigner was found dead on the outskirts of Prague, while a 62-year-old man died in his caravan. Another 3 people died of exposure earlier this week. And finally, a brief look at the weather. Cold but sunny conditions are to continue over the next several days, with daytime highs ranging between minus 12 and minus 8 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program: the future appears bleak indeed for the scandal-hit law faculty at West Bohemian University in Plzeň. We'll explain why. Then, will Prague's most famous square soon be sausage stand free? And a little later in the program, stay tuned for a new edition of Panorama, which looks at the troubling issue of growing aggressive behavior among children and teenagers. That's all ahead. The scandal-plagued Boseng Faculty of Law appears to have come to the end of the road. On Wednesday, the Czech Accreditation Commission announced that the West Bohemian Law Faculty's undergraduate program had failed to pass muster and its accreditation would not be extended past this autumn. On Thursday, some 300 of the faculty's 2,000 students gathered outside their school to protest against the decision and have appealed to Education Minister Josef Dobesh to intervene. However, their chances of success are meager, since under Czech law, the minister is not in a position to question the verdict of the Accreditation Commission. Daniela Lazarova spoke to its chairwoman, Professor Vladimira Dvořáková, to find out what was behind the commission's decision.
I have to say that after 2009, with the new staff in the faculty, it looks like that there is a perspective for the faculty to really change the situation and to restart its activities. It's a pity and a very sorry of that the last 1 year, 1.5 years, the situation didn't go in the way of consolidation, but there were many internal conflicts that led to the fact that some leading personalities of the faculty left the faculty. There were attempts to get new professors and associate professors and the experts, but more or less we don't see a very strong perspective and ability of the faculty to really now restart and to be on the level that's necessary to be for the accreditation of master program of law.
So apart from lacking qualified staff, I understand it's not publishing enough. There are not enough requests for grants. Is that right?
Well, yes, partly this is true. These are the facts that we are saying. Yes, there is not the personal situation is not very good there. The faculty is not very successful in getting the external financing for scientific grants and so on. So yes, this is part. It's very difficult to do evaluation because you can see there is some professor that's very good, but on the other hand, for more than 1 year, the faculty was not able to find the conception how to change. If there was a lack of the staff, more or less, they accepted someone else to come and to teach, but they were not thinking about what will be the further development, what would be the instruments, what will be the strategy to get more scientific grants or projects. There was no idea how to develop the faculty, and this is very important, and this is the main reason why we decided about that. It was not easy decision, but in fact, it seems to me that the faculty lost ability to solve own problems.
So is this the end of the road for the Faculty of Law in Plzeň? What happens to its students?
Well, I think it's the end of the road. We don't know whether something will happen in the future and so on, but in fact, the accreditation finishes at the end of October of this year. According to the Czech law, the university is obliged to really find a solution for the students. That means, I suppose, that the rector and dean of the faculty would start to discuss with the other faculties of law in the Czech Republic. There are three other faculties of law. To discuss the conditions under which they will go to study on other faculties. And on the other hand, I would maybe appeal to the students of the other three faculties to feel some form of solidarity for these students that are really innocent in this project. This is not thing that is their guilty or something that they did. They are victims of the fact that the faculty was not able to restabilize its situation.
That was Professor Vladimira Dvořáková, Chairwoman of the Accreditation Commission, on the decision to not extend accreditation for the West Bohemian Law Faculty. If you'd like to comment on that decision, please do so by writing to us here at the station. The address to write to is english@radio.cz. You can, of course, also take part or instigate discussion on the topic, either on Facebook or Twitter, where Radio Prague is also present. So if you feel so inclined, please do so. We'll be happy to hear from you. Now, though, for years, Prague councillors have been announcing the end of the sausage stands on Wenceslas Square, which for some have become an institution, albeit a noisy and greasy one. Now, City Hall officials are set to serve eviction notices to all of the fast food stands on the city's main thoroughfare ahead of a major makeover next year. In the future, Wenceslas Square may be sausage-free. But then again, not if Prague 1 Mayor Oldřich Lomecký has his say. Sara Borůvka has more.
Anyone who has ever visited Prague's Wenceslas Square will recall its many sausage stands. Something of an unofficial landmark, the street vendors offer the kind of gut-busting street foods that many drunks crave. Fried cheese and, of course, different varieties of greasy klobasy, a Czech sausage similar to the German Wurst. However, the stands have long been a thorn in the side of Prague's City Hall, which has recently announced the sausage vendors will be given a six-month eviction notice ahead of a complete makeover of the square. Teresa Krasenská is the City Hall's spokeswoman.
We're planning to remove the stands and replace them with six identical small brick-and-mortar shops that will be the property of Prague 1. This will give the city the say over what goods are sold there. Our priorities are flowers, newspapers and magazines, and baked goods. Fast food is not a priority, but could be offered pending further discussion. A lot of people think the sausage stands are a nuisance. The homeless gather around them. Getting rid of them is part of our effort to make Wenceslas Square more attractive for tourists and Prague residents. We also want to transform it into a pedestrian-friendly square by reducing car traffic.
However, Oldřich Lomecký, the mayor of Prague 1, the district where the sausage stands are located, has slammed the city's decision to remove the sausage stands, going as far as calling them a part of the national heritage.
Of course, this is a bit of an exaggeration, but the sausage stands have been on Wenceslas Square since the days of the First Republic. They are part of the local colour. We do agree with the City Council on most of the revitalization plans, the creation of more green spaces on the square, underground parking, etc. But until these changes are made, the sausage stands should remain there, and after that too, but of course in a higher quality version.
While City Hall has made it clear that the sausage stands that are currently selling their greasy goods on Wenceslas Square have to go in 6 months, whether or not some of the new stands that open next year will house sausage grills is going to be the subject of further debate. It is possible that Oldřich Lomecký will get his way. The city's last effort to ban the grilled sausages from the square was met with passionate protests from the Czech capital's worst lovers.
Well, Sara Borůvka reporting there on the situation around Wenceslas Square and the future of the hot dog, or rather sausage stands there, which are 100% pure, well, who knows what? Well, we better not go there. If you have an opinion, if you've ever bitten into one of those hot dogs or sausages on Wenceslas Square, once again, do let us know here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz, or you can write to our street address, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And I dare you to write us a letter or a postcard on one of those tácky, one of those paper plates that the sausages are served on. So I wonder if anyone's going to go ahead and do that. You're certainly welcome to. Radio Prague, you're listening to, and it's now time for our main feature this day, Panorama. Aggressive behavior in young children and adolescents is on the rise, and there are indications that parents are increasingly unable to deal with it. School teachers are ringing alarm bells, and therapists are warning of the dire consequences of failing to deal with the problem in time. Daniela Lasarova has more in this week's Panorama.
On
Unrestrained aggression in and outside the classroom is a serious problem in Czech society. The incidents range from bullying among very young children to brutal assaults by teenagers that end in grievous bodily harm or even death. Although much is said and written about the problem, there seems to be scant progress in addressing it. Parents blame schools for failing to control their children, and teachers blame parents for failing to bring them up properly. Child therapist Petra Vrtbovská says aggressive behavior is a natural part of a child's development, and it is up to the parents not to let it get out of control.
Aggression is a natural part of the human being, and aggression is there that the person can protect herself or himself and can get what the person wants, and it develops from the very beginning. So when we've got violent children in preschool age and later, it means that there is something missing in the family which would help the kids to modulate their natural primary forces such as aggression.
Many therapists working with problem children agree that today's parents often spend too little time with their children to influence their development, and very often have one-sided views about what is important. For instance, they place great emphasis on the fact that their child should speak 2 foreign languages, play tennis, and at least 1 musical instrument, but they generally underestimate the child's psychological needs. Dr. Vrtbovská says that one of the most important things for parents to do is set limits which are essential to a child's healthy development.
There are certain needs which need to be met by parents so the kid can develop the modulated personality. And one of these needs is a need for limits. So the children need to know, need to be taught and kind of trained by loving parents that there are behaviors which are not accepted. Also, that when we want something, that doesn't always happen, so they need to be kind of trained to be able to manage frustration. And this is where parents fail. And when they fail because they don't spend enough time with their children, and they are not aware of all these necessary needs which need to be met. So just to be more concrete, there is a child which of course would wish to have something, and then such a child in the family would have, you know, maybe even tantrums, like, I really want another hamburger, you know, mommy, and you are bad and you are not good to me. And parents handle it, and if they handle it right away, the child learns that of course I'm going to have strong wishes, but sometimes I have to wait, and there are things which I just have to manage not to have, and they have to learn it in the relationship with the parent. And when the parent is not doing it, children get they've got very strong inner emotional storms, and they don't know how to handle them. So they are in the kindergarten and they handle them in a very wrong way, such as being violent to other kids. So there is something fundamental missing in how parents relate to kids and how they teach them how to manage relationship with other kids, with other human beings.
Polls among primary school children have shown that half of them have themselves been a target of bullying or have witnessed a bullying incident. Even teachers themselves have been a target of a physical attack or subject of ridicule on social networks. A recent survey among Czech kindergartens showed that the vast majority of them have problems with children getting out of control, being aggressive, destructive, bullying others, and in a few cases even smoking. Dr. Vrtbovská, who deals with such cases on a daily basis in her private practice, says that schools cannot be expected to solve the problem of aggressive children. They can only point it out and help the child's parents to deal with it.
My practice says school is secondary. When there is a kid with a serious behavioral troubles from the family, teachers would have limited chances to heal the kid. You know, they can be restrictive, they can give, you know, punishments or something, but the child needs to be healed. The child needs to learn that people relate to each other differently. And then school doesn't have many tools for that, doesn't have enough space for it. It does go back to family.
Setting these limits belatedly can be a big problem because youngsters left to run wild no longer respect their parents as an authority, and the storm of pent-up feelings within them can get them into serious trouble or even irrevocably impact their lives. Just a few weeks ago, a court dealt with a case of two youths who made a brutal assault on two homeless men. After punching and kicking them in turn, the youths left the two men severely injured, bleeding and unconscious on the ground. When they returned to the spot an hour later, the men were still lying there and the boys resorted to fresh violence, urinating on their bodies before walking away. One of the men later died of his injuries. Police statistics show that increasingly young aggressors vent their anger upon strangers and without any provocation, just for the fun of inflicting pain. Very often they target elderly people who don't stand a chance against them. Dr. Wodbowska says there is an explanation for this.
They were actually being very brutal to somebody who was very weak. And that's interesting. When young people grow without limits, there's something in them that hates that the grown-ups are weak, you know, and they would test limits, they would try to do worse and worse and worse so somebody would stop them. And what often happens is that youngsters, when they have that deficit in developing good, you know, integrating good limits, in, they would kind of feel very angry, very violent towards weakness. And when I was thinking about that case, it reminded me of some of the cases from my practice where youngsters would be very violent towards grandparents who would be weak and very violent towards weak parents.
Although serious failings in bringing up children rarely lead to such excesses, Dr. Wodbowska says that the lack of limitations in childhood and the fact that children have not learned to govern their emotions paves the way for many future problems that make life difficult.
We can say that there is no limit, there is omnipotence, and there is omnipotence of powers which are dangerous, and it could be aggression, it could be also sexuality. When these young people and later grown-ups cannot handle their own strong emotional, sometimes sexual pushes, and they are dangerous. So very often they would be violent in relationships, they would have trouble in partnerships, they could be violent towards their own children. So there is no modulation of emotions, and the children are weak and children are helpless. That's like that homeless person, that the homeless person was helpless, you know, and that helplessness usually generates more aggressions. We can think about how people drive these days. You know, driving car means I have a power and I just don't obey any rules. I don't, you know, so that all goes together. It's kind of omnipotent, limitless way of living, which usually leads to some kind of disaster in relationships. Sometimes people have car accidents, sometimes people destroy, you know, families, and they leave and they set up another family and it happens again. So that it is a worry that this generation is growing in that way for the future.
Child therapist Petra Wodbowska was our guest in this week's Panorama, hosted of course by Daniela Lazarova. Sobering stuff there to think about in terms of your children's upbringing, certainly worrying statistics or worrying information about growing aggressive behavior, something definitely we'll want to watch out for. Now, our final part of the program, though, and that is going to be another edition of our Czech language program, the ABC of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
And welcome to the ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language series, which follows the alphabet. Today, the letter R is in our focus, and with it, the topic of radio. And for that, I'm joined in the studio by Zuzana Durčáková.
Dobrý den.
The English word radio is an abbreviation of the word radio telegraphy. The root was borrowed from Latin. The word radius means ray or beam. It's no surprise the Czech word
radio
came to the language from English. It's worth mentioning that after Great Britain, Czechoslovakia was the second country to provide regular radio broadcasting, or
vysílání.
The first attempts at radio broadcasting in Czechoslovakia began before the First World War, and the first radio program consisting of spoken word and music was broadcast in October 1919 from Prague's Petřín Lookout Tower. Regular radio broadcasts began in May 1923 and at first lasted just 1 hour per day. All the programs, news and musical productions, were broadcast live. Around that time, a truly Czech word for radio was coined and soon caught on. The word is
rozhlas,
and it soon replaced such clumsy expressions as radiophony, wireless telegraphy and telephony, and even the English expression broadcasting. The official name of Czech public service radio is
Český rozhlas.
However, the word
rozhlas
never really became popular in everyday use of the language. People still prefer to say
rádio,
both when they talk about the broadcast and receiver. Also, commercial radio stations, which started mushrooming after the end of the communist regime, usually have the word rádio and not rozhlas in their title. Still, it is used in official language in the expression
rozhlasová stanice
or radio station. Radio would be useless without listeners.
Posluchači.
Czech distinguishes between a male listener,
posluchač,
and a woman listener,
posluchačka.
So, dear listeners, or
vážení posluchači.
Our time is up, I'm afraid, but join us again next time. Until then, a typical Czech radio goodbye.
Naslyšenou.
Or hear you later.
Pavla Horáková with that ABC of Czech and the letter R, as in Romney, I guess. That's about all we have time for this day. We want to thank you so much for joining us, and please tune in again soon. Bye-bye.